lift your head, we'll be sinner. The river's just a down the path of forgiveness.
And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening here on Joy 620. Always happy to do this each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you are not able to listen live, or maybe you're not going to be able to catch the whole show from 5 to 6, we, of course, post this podcast up on our website. You can find it on iTunes as well, and we'll post it on our Facebook page. Investing Hope is where you'll find us on Facebook. So go there if you want to catch up on what we've been talking about each week. Last week, I focused on a book by Francis Schaeffer. Now, some of you may be familiar with that. I'm not going to rehash, obviously, last week's show. But the book was called Whatever Happened to the Human Race. And it was written in the late 70s. And what we find with that book is so many people that have been moved to join the pro-life movement. Back since after 1973 and even before 1973, the Roe v. Wade ruling, a lot of people looked at this book and said, this is what we need to do. This is the answer to the pro-life movement. So Francis Schaeffer, a theologian, a philosopher, and just had a great way of putting thoughts down on paper. And so the book does a great job of going after humanism and the devaluing of life. And that is what you find in that book. So what I wanted to do today is kind of continue that conversation and just how can we apply that book? How can we apply our pro-life stance to what is going on around us? As every single day we see more death in the headlines. Every single day we see more folks standing to devalue life. I mean, tonight, if you're watching the conventions, if you watched last week and watched this week, not a lot of folks talked about pro-life issues. Tonight, the CEO of the largest abortion provider in the country is going to be speaking at the convention in Philadelphia. And she will talk about abortion, and she will talk about how it needs to be easier for folks to get abortion. A couple weeks ago, we saw where the Supreme Court in Alaska overturned a piece of legislation that said minors had to get permission, had to talk with their parents before they were able to get an abortion. And the Supreme Court overturned that in Alaska so that now minors are not able to get tattoos. Minors are not able to buy alcohol. Minors are probably not able to go on a field trip without a parent's signature, but that they can go and have an abortion in Alaska. This should concern us. We should be thinking about the legacy we're leaving. Francis Schaeffer opened up his book with these words: cultures can be judged in many ways, but eventually every nation in every age must be judged by this test. How did it treat people? Each generation, each wave of humanity evaluates its predecessors of this basis. The final measure of mankind's humanity is how humanely people treat one another. And then he continued, there are choices to be made in every age, and who we are depends on the choices we make. What will our choices be? What boundaries will we uphold to make it possible for people to say with certainty that moral atrocities are truly evil? Which side will we be on? Now, Schaeffer proposes what seems like a simple question on the surface. But the question of how did we treat people is much deeper and deserves our focus. We have had times in history where the answer to this question is deplorable. Our history is checkered as we treated African Americans as property or as fractions. We have treated women as second-class citizens that could not vote or have a voice in our society. And I could continue that list, but I think you get the gist. In these moments, I wonder if the people thought about their legacy. Did they look forward and ponder on what future generations would think of them and their treatment of people? One can quickly look at our current society and see that we have come a long way from disenfranchising certain segments of our population. Many would argue that we have finally achieved liberty and justice for all. Now, some would disagree with that. This would be partly true. There continues to be one segment of our population that is silenced. A segment that is made up of all the colors on the color wheel, of all genders, and of all backgrounds. This segment has been discussed and maligned, but not given its proper voice. This segment is often devalued because its home is found in the womb. This is what abortion has done for our society. It strategically takes the voice away from citizens. It strategically takes the voice away from humans with their own DNA, their own blood type, fingerprints, and their own hopes and dreams. This is why Schaefer's work is so important. He was able to point us to simple questions that should make us rethink the way we treat all people. You see, I joined Hope because of this question. What will I tell my kids when they ask, one day, Daddy, what did you do while 1 million babies were aborted every single year? You see, this question haunts me. This question and the legacy I will leave behind drives much of what I do. I want my kids to be proud. I want my kids to know that we did all we could to fight for those that couldn't fight for themselves. We did everything we could for the most vulnerable among us, the child in the womb. I want to be on the right side of history. I desire to see every life celebrated. I desire to see the thinkable become the unthinkable. This doesn't happen apart from us thinking deeply and thoughtfully about these issues. So we must ask ourselves these questions that Schaefer proposed. This matters and will determine what side we will be on in the future. Do we desire to stand for life and the gift of it, or to stand for the flippant termination or disposing of it? That is a tough question, but these are tough issues. We continue to fight the same battle of Schaefer. We have millions standing together, but this will not change by that alone. This love of life must move us to get engaged and involved in the pro-life initiatives. Open your home to that young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Open your home to foster children or adoption. Seek out pro-life clinics and support them with your time, prayers, and money. This work was started years ago, and we must continue and expand that work today. It is possible that we can see a change in our culture for life. I believe that with all my heart and soul, but we have much work to do. The only question now is, what side will we be on? So which is it? Because we've had this conversation multiple times. I've been doing this show now for over a year. We've had this conversation of, does life have value or not? Is it life in the womb or not? And if we devalue life at its earliest stage via abortion, and we devalue life at its latest stage via doctor-assisted suicide or euthanasia, then ultimately we devalue life at every stage. Please understand that. We discussed on here, don't be surprised when murders occur, because we have said as a society that some life matters more than others. We have said as a society that we don't value certain lives based on their size or based on their location or based on their capability or their production or what they can bring about to society. So don't be surprised when someone goes out and takes that to its fullest conclusion, to its logical conclusion. And here in a little while, I'm going to talk about a story that illustrates this perfectly, of a murder that happened in Japan. A mass killing. Based on what? Based on the thought process that some people are more valuable than other people. Based on the thought process that some people are more productive than other people. When we step into that world, we have stepped into a world that says life doesn't matter. You know, as I watch these political debates and as I watch these political conventions, I'm concerned. And I'm concerned because you hear a lot of politicians, you hear a lot of leaders talking about kids and talking about how we need to care for kids and take care of kids and do everything we can for the future generations. The generations that are going to go and lead this country one day. But then they turn around and out of that same mouth say we need to have abortion on demand for any reason. That isn't intellectually consistent. It isn't honest. You can't claim that we need to do everything we can for future generations and then in the same sentence do everything you can to make sure future generations aren't as large as they would have been because you've decided that abortion should be on demand. And really, we have platforms now that say not only on demand, but free. The government, taxpayers should be paying for that. Churches should be forced to pay for that. Ministry should be forced to pay for that. That's what we've become. That we would cheer for that. That we would mock that. That precious gift of life. That, you know, people are always saying, well, you can't be a one-issue voter. And I'm not going to get political on here. You can listen to my other show for that. But what I want you to understand is life is truly the most precious gift we've ever been given, apart from Jesus himself. And what do they say about Jesus? He is life. Okay, so we have to, at some point, as a society, we must come to grips with what we are doing to future generations. We must come to grips that we have a generation has aborted a generation. Do you understand that? So the rest of the show, we're going to look at some positive news in the life movement. We're going to look at some negative news. But my goal here is to show you that this is why we do what we do. This is why we open the doors at Hope. This is why 2,500 plus clinics across the country are doing this work. It's because we care deeply about babies, but we also care deeply about moms and dads. And that's why we do what we do. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back here on Joy 620. We're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you for listening. As we opened up with a monologue really concerning Francis Schaeffer's book, Whatever Happened to the Human Race, but also looking at what is our legacy? What are we doing? What will the futures say? What will the future generations say about us? Will we be ones that they say, man, they knew how to treat people, all of humanity? Or will they say, how did they get to a point where they allowed a million abortions in the country, the greatest country on the face of this planet? That is a question that some people are going to ask one day. And so as we walk through this pro-life movement, as we walk through the work that we do, we must understand that history is watching. So what's it going to look like? Well, one thing that we have is we do have good news. We do have 2,500 plus clinics, pro-life clinics in the country doing this work. We do have people fighting every single day to see pro-life legislation passed. So those are positive things. We have people like David DeLayden and Sandra Merritt who went with undercover videos and met with Planned Parenthood executives and met with organ harvesting executives to get undercover video on them and their practices where they're selling harvested baby parts. Now, that's a tough conversation, tough all the way around. But what we saw after all of that, Planned Parenthood went after David DeLayden and his organization. And here, listen to this. In January, the grand jury in Texas tasked with investigating Planned Parenthood as a result of the videos, instead of indicting anyone with Planned Parenthood, decided to indict the two investigators themselves, charging them with second-degree felony for tampering with governmental records to make fake identity cards. DeLayden also faced a misdemeanor charge for allegedly attempting to purchase human organs. Okay, so DeLayden's point was Planned Parenthood and other clinics were selling aborted baby parts. That was his point. That was the whole theme of the undercover videos, was, hey, here they are selling and profiting off of aborted baby parts. Now, abortion clinics and STEM Express and all these other places said, no, we're not. We're not doing that. But DeLayden faced a misdemeanor charge for allegedly attempting to purchase human organs. Well, who was he attempting to purchase them from? The same people that said they weren't doing it. That's how laughable this is. Well, today, all charges were dropped against David DeLayden and Sandra Merritt. And here's the statement from DeLayden. The dismissal is a resounding vindication of the First Amendment rights of all citizen journalists, and also a clear warning to any of Planned Parenthood's political cronies who would attack whistleblowers to protect Planned Parenthood from scrutiny. Planned Parenthood tried to collude with public officials to manipulate the legal process to their own benefit, and they failed. A year after the release of the undercover videos, the ongoing nationwide investigation of Planned Parenthood by the House Select Investigative Panel makes clear that Planned Parenthood is the guilty party in the harvesting and trafficking of baby body parts for profit. Since the videos, and that was his statement, and then here's further in this article. Since the videos emerged last July, one of Planned Parenthood's primary defenses has been to accuse the investigators of illegal activity, and as such, the group claimed that none of the video footage would be admissible evidence in court. In the wake of today's news, this attempted defense has been invalidated. So think about that. So if they pursue with this case, now all of that footage will be admissible in court. And so what you see, and this is great timing, as I said earlier, the CEO of the largest abortion provider is going to be speaking tonight. And so I wonder what she'll have to say. But as we look through this, what we know is, and what we saw last year, last summer, is more conversations were had than in perhaps, at least in my lifetime, more conversations were had on the life issue. And so these videos brought that to the surface. You had people talking about it. It was trending on Twitter. It was trending on Facebook. Millions were talking about those videos and the flippant nature of how these executives were acting concerning aborted babies. And so it was important for us to see those videos, as hard as it was. There were times where I would watch it at my desk in my office and I would weep, because it's difficult and because I saw the life that was taken. But these are conversations that have to be had. And David DeLayden is a hero in getting that messaging out. And so will this change? Will this see some of these abortion providers closed? I don't know. Time will tell. But what we know now is across the country, more and more legislation is being looked at to be passed concerning these issues. And what we see a lot of times is the ones that are on the defensive is the abortion clinics. And so that is a good thing for the life movement. If we want to see life being valued, then we have to stand for life. You know, oftentimes people will say things to me, you know, we're at Hope Resource Center, and they'll act as if our goal, our ultimate goal, is to close abortion clinics. Well, that is not the mission of Hope Resource Center. Would we like to see abortion clinics closed? Absolutely. But the mission of Hope Resource Center is to love and serve this community, empowering healthy choices for life by providing compassionate, holistic, reproductive health care. Our goal is to open our doors for anyone and everyone that needs service. I mean, that is who we are. And so if we can serve them, if we can love them and provide the services that they need, then the rest will take care of itself. We don't do that. We don't get up and do our work out of anger. Like, please hear that. We're passionate about this work, but we don't get up and go to work every day because we're angry at the abortion clinics. I pray for the abortion clinics. I pray for the abortion providers. I want to see a heart transformation occur. So we get up and do the work that we do at Hope Resource Center out of love for humanity. It goes back to the Schaefer comments from earlier. How do we treat people? That's a question that we need to be able to answer well. So that's why we open our doors. That's why we don't charge a dime to our patients. Because we care about the way we treat people. That's why I come in here every Tuesday, because I want you to know that there's pro-life folks doing great work. Not to lift us up, but to say there's so much that we can do. And there's great need in this community. Great need. People not just from Knoxville, but people from all over the world. As some of our staff would say, all the nations. We see them all there at Hope Resource Center on Painter Avenue. We don't want to make money off the backs of the hurting and the broken. That's what abortion providers do. These women are struggling and don't have the finances to do a lot, but they're forced to pay for these services. The vast majority of services that they could get absolutely free at Hope Resource Center. So they go to those places and they're charged for an ultrasound. They're charged for a pregnancy test. They're charged for an STD test. They're charged for STD treatment. And then ultimately they're charged for the abortion. You come to Hope, you're not charged for a pregnancy test. You're not charged for an ultrasound. You're not charged for an STD test or treatment. That is who we are. Why? Because we care about the way we treat people. And we care about humanity. And so that's who we need to be. That's why David DeLayden did what he did, because he cares about the way humans are treated. Every human, those in the womb and outside of the womb. So ask yourself that. Do you care about the way people are treated? And what are we doing to make that a better process in our society? What are we doing to assure that one day history will say that generation understood people were valuable? That generation understood the value and the gift that life was. That's the questions that we need to be able to answer to ourselves. When we come back, we will discuss how the euthanasia and the assisted suicide and the pushing of this narrative creates an atmosphere where death should not shock us. Murder should not shock us. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thank you for tuning in here at Joy 620 every Tuesday afternoon. Today we're talking about a number of different things, but I started with the Schaefer book and Whatever Happened to the Human Race. And oftentimes we've talked on this show about the devaluing of life, and that if you take that argument, and folks, hear me out. It's not just that people are making the argument for abortion, because we've passed that point. It's not just rape, incest, and life of the mother. It is now openly, we should be able to have an abortion for any reason at any time, regardless of how old we are. That is now the argument. And so when you show that disdain for life, when you say that life has no value, even to the point when some say, well, up until 9 months, as long as that baby's in the womb, that life has no value. And we've heard some people say and go as far as saying, until that baby is walked out of the hospital, it isn't a life. Well, when you say that, and when you preach this to kids, and when you preach this to teenagers, and when you preach this to preteens, and then you carry that on over to adults, don't be surprised when some of these same people that are a little bit unhinged then take that further and say, oh, well, then no life. I mean, I can take a life if I need to take the life. Or if this life isn't productive, then I can take that life. Listen to this story about a mass killing in Japan, and you'll get what I'm talking about. In the worst mass killing in Japan since at least World War II, a murderous rampage by a knife-wielding attacker intent on eliminating handicapped people has resulted in 19 deaths and left more than 20 other people injured, according to Japanese news outlets. The rampage took place early Tuesday morning at a garden facility for elderly and handicapped people, according to the English language service of NHK, Japan's leading public broadcast network. An official identified the suspect and told a news conference Tuesday that the suspect had broken into the building at about 2:10 a.m. Now think about that. That means most of the people at that facility were asleep. It was 2:10 in the morning. The suspect was described as a 26-year-old man who had worked at the hospital before and reportedly told police that he committed the murders from a pro-euthanasia conviction. Here's what he said. I want to get rid of the disabled from this world. That's what he told police. They said 19 fatalities had been confirmed by doctors at the site and 26 more were wounded in the rampage. Now think about this. They were handicapped and disabled, were not able to defend themselves, were probably sleeping. And here comes this man in taking their lives because he's pro-euthanasia. This is where we have gone. Now, mass stabbings are common in Japan, more common than in the U.S., because of gun control laws. difference in gun control laws. But either way, we have 19 lives taken. Why? Because this suspect took the argument that, well, we should be okay with euthanasia. We should be okay with ending life. So he took that argument to the point of where he convinced himself that the handicapped and special need or disabled people are not valuable. They're not productive. They're in pain. What kind of life could they possibly have? You see, these are arguments that pro-choicers make. Well, that baby can't be born into this situation. What kind of life would that baby have? Or, that person has terminal cancer. What kind of life do they have? Or, that person would be considered a vegetable. What kind of life do they have? So then we become God. We start deciding who has value and who doesn't have value. Now, I would assume that pro-choicers even would say this was an unjustified act of violence and murder in Japan. They would say that, and I would assume they would be genuine about that. But this is the problem when we start saying that life isn't valuable. These things happen. That's why even with my kids now, I have a 5-year-old that's about to start kindergarten. I have a 3-year-old. And then I have a 7-month-old. My 7-month-old doesn't really know what I'm saying at all. But my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old, they hear the way mommy and daddy talk. They hear us talk about life. They hear me talk about what I do at Hope Resource Center and what goes on there. They know that life is precious. They know that life is valuable. I want them to know that. I want them to grasp that truth. In our home, in the Woodhouse, we do not flippantly talk about life. We praise God for the life that we have. And we praise God for pregnancies. And we praise God for babies. And we seek to enter into situations where we can help people out. Because I want my kids to understand life is valuable. I want them to understand that the author of life is who we celebrate, and that life simply points us to Him. That's what I want them to understand and grasp. I'm not looking at them and saying, well, but if a woman so chooses, she could get rid of that pregnancy at a certain time. I'm not looking at them and saying, well, if someone so chooses and they're ill, they can get rid of that life at any time. Because what would that tell a young person that is easily influenced? Would that not make them start to think, so some lives are more important than others? That is why our messaging is so important. That is why not just the words that we say, but the things that we do is so important. That is why I praise God when I receive checks in the mail at Hope Resource Center, or I receive emails, or I receive text, or get comments, or anything like that, because it shows that the life message is penetrating the darkness that is in our society and that is around our world. It shows that many are saying, enough is enough. That's why I love to hear adoption stories, because it shows that there are people out there saying, I'm willing to step in and help to take care of this child. That's why I love seeing people foster children, because they're saying, I am pro-life and I'm willing to step in and take care of this child, even if it's for a time and not forever. Even if it's for a few weeks or a few months or a few days, I'm willing to step in and help. Because that is, if we want to see the abortion issue, the life issue be celebrated, it starts there. It doesn't start at the State House. It doesn't start in Washington, D.C. And we hope it ends there, but it doesn't start there. It starts in our homes, with our children, with our families. It starts in our churches. It starts in our neighborhoods. I love it when somebody sees my name badge and they say, where is hope? What is hope? I love that opportunity where I can tell them there's a pro-life clinic here in Knoxville seeking to love and serve this community at no cost. Regardless of the background of the patient, regardless of the political identification of the patient, regardless of the religious affiliation of the patient, regardless of the sexual orientation of the patient, we seek to serve and love. You have no idea how excited I am to tell that to people. Because so many people want to label pro-lifers as some unhinged group. Now, every group has unhinged people. There's no question. But the vast, vast majority of pro-lifers simply love life. And all they're trying to do is to see that life is celebrated and cherished. That's life of mom. That's life of baby. Life of family. That is why we throw the baby showers that we do. Because we want to help. We want to serve. We want to make sure that one day when people ask the question, how did they treat people? We want them to be able to look at Hope Resource Center and say, you know, I may not agree with their pro-life stance, but they treated people like real humans and like they mattered and like they loved them. And it was genuine. And I'm telling you, I walk into Hope every single day. And in the morning, we talk over the patient list and we pray over the patient list. The love of that staff, the love of our staff, it is genuine. They mean it. We cry at that table. We pray hard at that table because we care deeply about the patients walking in the door. Today, I was walking by the nurse's office and I heard Spanish coming out of the room. And I knew that was our nurse, Christy, because she's fluent in Spanish. And I thought, I'm so glad that we are equipped to help people of all walks of life. Even if they can't speak our language, we're going to figure out a way to love and serve them. And in this case, if they speak Spanish, we have a person on staff that can talk to them and help them. And we've seen lives saved, babies saved, moms saved, because we have a Spanish-speaking staff person. You see, we care deeply about the community. We care deeply about life and the gift that it is to us. And so we celebrate that. And that is what we need to do. That is what we do every day. And that is what we are called to do, is celebrate life and certainly celebrate the life giver. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. We are wrapping up this show. This hour always flies by. Thank you again for listening and for supporting Hope Resource Center. If you're looking for ways to stand with us and to stand with pro-life clinics, one way is you can certainly pray for us. Remember that every single day when you pray, regardless of how many times you pray. We would certainly appreciate you praying for our staff and for our patients and for the lives that we are able to enter in with and have discussions with and love on and all of that. So we would certainly appreciate your prayers. Your gifts, if you are so inclined to send funds to Hope Resource Center, we would certainly appreciate that. We are a nonprofit. Again, we don't charge a dime to any of our patients. And so if you want to stand with us and help us continue to do our work and continue to expand in our work, then we would appreciate that as well. Or if you're a volunteer, maybe you just have some skills, maybe you're a nurse or something like that, and you want to help us out, feel free to reach out to us via email, and we'd be happy to help you get plugged in there as well. So a lot of things you can do. Also, maybe you are a golfer, and you're like, well, what does golfing have to do with pro-life work? Well, in September, we are going to have a golf tournament at Gettysview Country Club, and we would love for you to come join us. Every dime will go to Hope Resource Center and help us to continue to do the work that we do. So if you want to play at a golf course that maybe you're not able to play at often. We would certainly welcome you to the golf tournament that we're going to have. You can find more information about that at investinghope.com. You can also go to our Facebook page, Investing Hope. Just search Investing Hope and you'll find us. You can email me, Andrew@KnoxvilleHope.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions there. Maybe you're listening today and you're like, you know, I can't play, but I'd love to sponsor a team. Well, send me an email and we'll get that worked out. Or maybe you like to sponsor a hole or do something like that. Send me an email, Andrew@KnoxvilleHope.com, and we'll get you plugged in. So many things going on at Hope Resource Center where we get to serve and love on this community. And those are just a few of the ways that you can help us do that. Another way is talk to your church. Talk to people in your church, your pastors, and tell them about what we're doing. And let's partner up. The local church needs to be the driver of the life issue. This is a gospel issue. It is not a political issue. This is a gospel issue. So that our churches around here need to be stepping up, and so many already have, and do so on a regular basis, and we couldn't thank you enough for that. So we do appreciate the fact that there are a lot of people standing for hope. I know a lot of times I come on here and I talk about the narrative that seems to be ruling the day that says life is devalued. But we are making great strides in the life issue and seeing life celebrated more and more. And I certainly appreciate that and appreciate the work. I mean, the doctors that we have that partner with us here in Knoxville is amazing that we're able to find that many pro-life doctors. Some clinics across the country struggle with that. And we just have a ton to choose from because a lot of them are pro-life, and we appreciate that as well. Our board of directors is a great board as they love and celebrate life. So do that. Make it a point in your conversations. Don't be the weirdo. Don't be someone like me who always tries to get conversations to go toward life or religion or politics. People may not want to be around you that often. But when that issue comes up, be prepared to have that conversation. Not in a hateful way, not in a bitter way, but in a way that simply celebrates the value of life. And then be prepared to tell someone why you see it that way. And then what I hope we can do with this show every Tuesday is equip you to be able to say, do you realize there's places in Knoxville that can help those women? There's places in Knoxville that can help those men. And that they offer all of their services for free. And that they throw baby showers. And that they do this and they do that. That is who we are. And so that is news worth sharing. And so if you know someone that is struggling, if you know someone that is facing an unplanned pregnancy, send them to Hope. They can go to KnoxvilleHope.com. They can schedule an appointment. They can get it all taken care of right there. So send them our way. We would love to serve them and help them through this difficult time. Because ultimately, that's what we're here to do. We're not going to judge them. We're not going to beat them over the head with the Bible. We're simply going to provide the service and have a conversation with them about the options that they face. And we love the opportunity to do that here at Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. It's always a pleasure to come on Joy 620 and have this conversation with you every Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week, as we are always, Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Joy 620. Thanks so much. The river's just a bit down the path of forgiveness.